Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have things been with you?
Pretty good. Getting better after the wife's little mishap with the car.
And okay, good. Back on the mend, headed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Absolutely. And a big, man, is that some of the best weather we had for Memorial Day weekend or what last week?
Warm.
So, yes, warm. And I'm loving this time of year. I tell you what, I was happy to thaw out after the winter we had. I think it makes me appreciate the Tri-Cities summer more than most. Those early mornings and late evenings are feeling pretty good right now. We have back with us in the studio, we had some guests and pushed him out of the way for a while, but he wiggled his way back in here. We forgot to change. Mike Denslow with Home Street. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. Had a little vacation in there, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
10 days in Europe, and got to see part of the Monaco Grand Prix and a lot of different things in Rome. And, yeah, it was just my head's still spinning from all the experiences.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, I was feeling bad for you, but now I'm not, for catching back up. So, glad you were able to do that. And we got a couple guests in while you were gone. We had the Benton County assessor in here. We had Bill Spencer in here and talked to him, and he educated us on how that office works. And so, yeah, it was great. There are no Mike Denslow with Home Street, but they did fill in for us while you were gone. So welcome back. And you know what's great about you being gone is that your office didn't skip a beat. I have to tell you, we had some deals close, and we needed some questions answered. So your team over there, rest assured, kept everything in order while you were gone.
Well, I brought back a few gifts too, so they're taken care of.
They were working for bribery. Okay, yeah. Excellent, very very good. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate house. And this week, if you want to go back, I'll take you back to the 80s a little bit. And Cyndi Lauper just wants to have fun selling her house. She has a Connecticut retreat her and her husband Dave Thornton have had for quite some time, actually. She actually bought this retreat in the early 80s. And it is in Connecticut. It is a 3.5 bath, 3-bedroom house that sits on this gorgeous 1.5-acre lot with views. And actually, there was a writing studio in there where it said that she wrote the majority of her albums. So that home, priced at $1.25 million, and fans of her, it was the most popular home on Realtor.com last week, reported by Realtor.com.
Wow.
with the number of views. So obviously there's some fan base out there still checking out those homes. Why would she sell? And this happens a lot. It's the same reasons a lot of people sell is it just said that she's looking to simplify her life with multiple residents and traveling. They have a comfortable place in New York and still travel a lot promoting music. And so just looking to simplify things a little bit. So that's my crazy celebrity real estate story.
Coming up on next month's Tiny House Nation.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, back to Tri-Cities and the stuff that we're talking about, what's going on in our local marketplace. And we always like to take a look at those transactions, take a look at what's happening, and then bring that to our show topic. And over the course of probably the last month and a half, we have seen probably more homes sold for sale by owner than we've seen previously in a marketplace like this. So you start to look at those trends and what happens. And then we break down the good, the bad, and the indifferent in those situations. Because I'll tell you, I'm in the business, so I know how it works, and I know how people's thought process goes, and we talk to them. What happens a lot of times is you'll see a real estate sign go up at a neighbor's house, and it's very similar to yours, and then 2 days later, you're seeing that there's a sold sign up on that deal, and they're on down the road. What you don't see, and so that a lot of people will just say, well, shoot, this is a seller's market. There's no inventory out there. This is easy. I'm going to knock this out myself and, you know, save 5, 6, 7% on commissions and fees and get this done myself. So we see that happen a lot in a really strong seller's market like we have now. Now, what happens in those cases and what we're seeing happen quite a bit is that a lot of times that put the sign out and have somebody come through the house or even get started could very well be the easiest part of the entire transaction. And a lot of times people don't realize what comes after that. Second thing that we see happening in this market is that the most qualified buyers in the market are generally working with a real estate professional. And why do I say that? Well, a lot of times what happens is somebody that does this for a living, that follows the steps we talk about on the radio and in our businesses and guides, they have had their buyers go and they've talked to lenders like Mike at Home Street. They have those relationships set up. They know what they need to be working on. So if there's any early red flags, they've addressed those. And now they're out looking with a buyer that is ready to buy, that has talked to the bank. They've talked to Mike. They've talked to Home Street. And then the agent is spending time with that buyer. The buyers that are not qualified or have problems or are trying to do owner financing, a lot of times you will see those unrepresented buyers in the marketplace without an agent. So when you go for sale by owner, you're going to have to filter through a lot of those calls to say, is this a real buyer or is this a problematic buyer? And if you've only done this once or twice, you develop, I guess we can call it an intuition, but it really is professionalism and not an intuition. When you see 100 deals and you see 7 of those 100 go bad, it's an experience factor. When you start to see the signs and know, like, I've seen this before. I've gone down this path before. Here's the mistake that they was made. Unfortunately, in an unrepresented transaction, you don't have that perspective and that experience. So when things are happening, you really don't have a radar to tell you if it's correct or incorrect. And then we can talk about the other side of the coin is there might be good things happening in a transaction, but you don't know they're good. You might actually think they're bad and they might be good things. And you might have a freak out over a normal item that could jeopardize the deal when in fact it's standard operating procedure for the industry. So taking us back to point number one that we talked about is that even if you are for sale by owner, you can still double and triple your exposure by being willing to half co-broke with agents that are working with the best possible buyers in the market, because we talked about those most qualified buyers are working with agents. So a lot of times we'll see for sale by owners, they'll offer a half co-broke. They'll allow buyers agents to come, write deals, write transactions, write offers, and then represent their buyers. The mistake that I see happen the largest amount of time in these transactions that's worth noting in this marketplace is about halfway into those negotiations, the homeowner or the for sale by owner starts to believe that they are represented by that agent, They're calling that real estate agent. They're asking them what these forms mean. They're asking for help with filling out these forms. When in fact, by nature of that relationship and what's happened, it is highly, highly likely that that agent only represents that buyer. And they would have an agency law duty to that buyer if there were red flags, if there were deadlines that were normally would be good for a seller. They're under no obligation to disclose that or help the seller with that. In fact, they might have a legal obligation not to protect their buyer and put their buyer in the best possible position going into that scenario. So once again, there's a little bit lack of perspective there, and we see people in those situations. I always see these contracts after the fact where they've been taken advantage of or they've done stuff that is outside the scope of normal. One of the biggest things we see happen is we have new forms in the last 2 years that have come into play that give the seller the right to inquire about information from the lender or to request an update from the buyer. 8 times out of 10 in for sale by owner transactions, the seller misses that deadline and to make that inquiry until it's too late. They're too far down in the transaction to know when to present that form. In fact, they really don't even have access to that form because they don't have an agent working for them. So there's a couple little things like that that we see happening. And then a lot of times we see those sellers leaning on that other agent for information and advice that they're really not allowed to get. So it can set up some scenarios. It can work just fine. Don't get me wrong. There are times where it can work just fine, but you have to know with perspective what you're dealing with. The flip side of the coin that I started to talk about was also something good could be happening in a transaction, and you might not think it's a good thing. For instance, the inspector comes out. The problematic time frame that we have is the inspector comes out, and the inspector says, we have items 1 through 8 that need to be fixed. And so there is a form that goes out from the inspection request, 35R. And the buyer says, well, gosh, I really want items 1, 2, and 3 fixed. And I am going to request that from the seller. So they'll fill out those forms with their agent. They'll send that over to the seller. And the seller will completely just go postal about items 1, 2, and 3. And in fact, a lot of times the seller can be so upset about it that they'll say, I'm putting this back on the market. I'm done. I'm putting it back on the market before they've even responded to that form. Now, if they had an agent helping them through that, they would say, look, this is actually a negotiation. If we go back to your original contract, they can ask for items 1, 2, 3. They can ask for items 7, 8, 9, 10. But you can also calmly respond with, I appreciate your effort in trying to get me to pay for these things, but I respectfully decline to do anything. And many times in this hot market, a buyer knows that. That might even be the expectation that's been set for the buyer. They were just trying to get something, you know, making that effort.
Call their bluff.
Exactly. And so you can easily do that. Now, I say easily because an agent is not emotionally involved. It is easier for an agent to do that, much harder when it's your personal home and someone's telling you all the bad things that are wrong with your home. And that can come across. And if you have nobody else to talk to about that or bounce those ideas off, it's easier to get more and more upset when it really could have just been a simple form where the agent's like, hey, here's the request. Here's what we're doing. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Mr. Mike Denslow at Home Street. We haven't been able to chat with him for a while, so we're going to get an update on lending, what's going on with mortgages in his world, and we're going to talk a little bit more about being able to navigate some of those challenges in a for sale by owner situation if you're trying to sell a house yourself. right now in this market.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been tackling the issues that for sale by owners will face in a hot market, because there will be some more. Buyers will be scrambling to try to find anything. Also, at the same time, we've got agents on our team personally that are scouring the market right now for our buyers. The best agents right now for our buyers are spending a lot of time. I call it just rustling up the bushes, shaking everything out, trying to flush out something. And so we're looking at those. We're talking to these for sale by owners. We're talking to neighbors of neighbors who said their cousin might sell their house, because that's what we have to do right now to help get our buyers into contract in a lower inventory market. So we've kind of gone over a couple of those items. I've got a few more as we round out the second part of the show, but it's been a couple weeks since we've checked in with Mike over at Home Street. Mike, I know you guys have a lot going on over there, and it always surprises me how many different loan programs are out there. What are some of the things you guys are seeing and working on right now in the marketplace?
Well, there's down payment assistance is a big buzz right now, with first-time homebuyers especially coming in with not a lot of cash. And the city's got some programs, actually all three cities. It's called the Tri-City Down Payment Consortium. And it's income driven, so you can't make over a certain number. It depends on how many people live in the home, but they have some money that is available. The state, we even do more programs with the state, and that income's higher. But both are great programs. You don't have to have as much money as you think to get into the house, and it's pretty awesome. Conventional, I bring this up with people all the time. They think conventional, well, you got to do 20% down.
Yeah.
I'm just, no.
You hear that a lot in the marketplace.
Yeah, and the word has not gotten out there that it can be a lot less than that. It can be 5%. It can be 3%. I mean, with down payment assistance, it can be 1%. I mean, there's so many programs out there that, again, I encourage people to start asking questions. Give us a call so we can figure out what the best option for you is. If you got 20% down, you got good credit, you still, people are, oh, I use a mortgage calculator online to figure out what my payment's going to be. Well, okay, that's nice. But did you include taxes and insurance? Did you look at HOA for, the areas that you're looking at? I mean, there's a lot of different things. Again, expertise. I like what you said that, yeah, you've got 100 transactions that you did in the last, so often. And we're the same way. People get loans maybe every 5 to 7 years, or it's their first one. Whereas, our office did over 1,000 last year. So, I mean, it's like, come on, have the experts help you. That's what we're here for. FHA is still a popular program. It's 3.5% down and can be less with down payment assistance. VA with full VA eligibility is a zero down program. If you have another house that's VA, you want to buy this house potentially before the other one sells, there is even a way to have more than one VA loan at a time. When a lot of people don't know that. We do a lot of VA here in Tri-Cities. A lot of people coming out of the military and looking to buy. So that's a great program. I mean, if you're ex-military, calling us up to talk about those benefits is absolutely the right thing to do.
We've seen quite a few clients come through, use that program, and in the right instances for lower down payment and using those benefits, sometimes that VA loan is the way to go.
Yeah, if you're eligible for a VA loan, that is the way to go.
Yeah.
And there's just no question. And if there's little nuances, like if you're doing a VA loan for the second time, and you have to pay the VA funding fee, well, if you put 5% down, that funding fee gets chopped in half. I mean, there's just a lot of, I mean, like you, Lance. I mean, you know, how many houses did you guys sell last year? You're going to know more than the client that calls in who wants to sell their house and doesn't think they should use an agent. I mean, it's just there's a lot of expertise. There's a lot of perspective that we have because we see it every day.
Yeah, that's good information. I think you really touched on something too, since our topic today was kind of about evaluations that for sale by owners are doing. I think one of those is the smartest ones would say to anybody that brought them an offer, can I see a pre-approval letter or some documentation that you've talked to a lender? And I think if they saw one of those letters from your office, it would give them a higher sense of confidence that somebody was working with somebody that had reviewed the file. I mean, I know you guys don't take it lightly when you release one of those letters from your office.
Absolutely. We run credit. We get income asset documentation. And we run it through our software that everybody has to use that is tied in with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, and it confirms. Now, it's only as good as the data that you enter in, right? So if you enter in the wrong data, it might give you a false approval, but that's very rare. The majority of the time, we're getting all of their information up front. We're running them through the software. We're pulling their credit. We're looking at everything so that we know they're good to go, because as you know, I mean, reputation is huge in the try, so we want to keep our reputation high.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, and it makes a big difference when we see those. You know, it's confidence for our sellers, and that's one of the things that we talk with them about when they engage our services to help in the selling process, of knowing, you know, okay, I've got this pre-approval letter from Mike at Home Street. I can tell you that our last, you know, 20 deals that we've done have closed and closed on time. And so when we look at that and we're evaluating that with the seller, that's knowledge that another seller might not have unless they've been in the industry and seen that.
Well, and you're comparing that pre-approval to XYZ Mortgage out of Kansas.
Yes, absolutely. And the scariest thing that I saw a bulletin about was that there was actually a company that was sending editable pre-approval letters to the client and the agents and letting them change the amounts of that pre-approval letter themselves. I mean, this was a real bulletin that was put out by the Washington Association of Realtors that said, do not deal with people that are doing this. You definitely want to see it, you know, in a situation and communication that has come from the lender, because there's also an added level of responsibility and licensing that goes along with that. You don't want to be caught doing that. So I would like to proudly say Mike has never sent me an editable file to put my own numbers in the pre-approval letter.
Some guy sitting in front of his computer. Yeah. We've got liftoff.
It just blows your mind. So anyway, good information and very, very key points. We've been going over today the value added, bringing value to the table from a seller's perspective and some of the things that can happen. So one of the big things is just knowing what is customary and knowing how to do it. In fact, I wrote down a scenario that would probably really scare some people out there. I don't think it's risky at all. I actually think it's progressive. But just to add a little perspective to things, because a lot of times a seller doesn't know what a buyer's looking for. So if I was to sell my own home and it came down to showings and I wanted somebody to like it enough to purchase, what I would actually do is I would remove all of the valuables from my house. I would accept the fact that I didn't care what could happen in my absence. And if somebody wanted to see my house and they came even by themselves, or they came with an agent, it would be great, and then I wouldn't be worried. But even if they came by themselves and I didn't have representation, I would probably take a picture of their driver's license and their license plate on their car, so I knew who they were. I would have already removed the valuables from my car. And then I would probably say, hey, thanks for coming to check out my house. I'm going to run down to Starbucks, grab a cup of coffee. You go through, check it out. look at it, and just lock up when you leave. Give me a call when you leave. And I'm talking strangers, people I didn't even know, because I feel so strongly about the fact that as a seller in that situation, you're going to mess up the showing. You're going to say something. You're going to emphasize something that really matters to you but doesn't matter to the buyer. You're going to potentially give away your negotiating power. I would be more comfortable that the deal could go through having strangers in my house that I don't know than I would the alternative. So that's a big point to point out there as something to do and be away from when you are doing it. I dealt with two or three different buyers over the course of the last 3 weeks that said to me, they were in my office and they said, you're not going to believe what the seller accidentally told me at the showing. They're going to XYZ and they have to be there by this date. And it was just something that wouldn't happen when they were shielded by agents. And probably in this particular scenario, cost that seller, I would say $100,000 to $150,000. It was on a big deal. But I really believe that that showing cost them that amount of money. So just a couple tips there about what I would do if I was in that situation. The next thing that I wrote down there is just that when you're in that second round of negotiating with inspection items, there's probably 100 different scenarios of ways to minimize the amount that you have to fix and maximize the probability of that deal closing. So knowing when to ask for a credit, knowing when to fix something that might be life safety, knowing when to fix something that could potentially limit your liability after closing versus causing you greater liability with what could happen. So there's been instances with repairs and stuff where something was asked for that was pretty simple, but completing that repair could lead to other larger problems. And so you have to know when to do that. For instance, one of the easiest ones that can come up that I can think of is you have a living room that flows into a dining room. We do a lot of the open concept, right? Where you'll see a formal dining room and you'll see a formal living room. And you, let's say it has a pretty decorative grand ceiling. And there's just a really little sheetrock crack through one of the seams in that ceiling. And it's asked to be repaired and patched by a buyer. Well, what do you think is going to happen when you repair and patch that crack and then you try to match the paint, McKay, and you paint that one little crack in the living room? What do you think is going to happen when the buyer comes to check it out?
They're going to see that.
They're going to see that because how do you think that paint looks?
Terrible.
Terrible. So now, instead of making that a buyer credit or letting a buyer take care of that, now guess what you're repainting? You're repainting the entire ceiling from wall to wall, not only in the formal living room. Now you're repainting the formal dining room. Now you're trying to decide where to stop on the edges of the walls. And you also are trying to do all of this before closing. And now you're trying to do it 5 days before closing because you just found out from the buyer's walkthrough that they weren't satisfied with that change. And so now you're trying to do all of this in 5 days. You're probably not stressed out at all because you're moving in 5 days.
And then they tell you painted the wrong color.
So there's instances like this where probably if a buyer really thought about it, they probably would have wanted to tackle that themselves when all the seller's furniture was out and when they could repaint maybe that entire room. So a credit applicable to that amount can help a lot. So a lot of different scenarios like that where we come across. If you need some help with those scenarios, please go to kenmoreteam.com and contact us. A lot of times in those situations, we can give some simple advice and also some complex advice about what representation on your side looks like in that sales situation. Mike, it's great to have you back. Love hearing from you about what's going on at Home Street. thank your team for me for all the great help. And, yeah, glad to have you back and back in the lending seat.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I got back and we went through everything, and I was like, man, sounds like things got handled. Yeah,
they absolutely did from our perspective. And thanks to all of our listeners for the great referrals we've had the last couple weeks. We will be coming back, and we will be right back here next weekend.
Right here on News Talk 870.